In today's gospel, we read how when Jesus was about to begin his public ministry, which culminated in the cross and resurrection, it tells us that he first prepared himself by going off into the desert to fast and to pray for 40 days. Our observance of Lent is specifically patterned after our Lord's example as we prepare ourselves to remember and celebrate his death and resurrection. And so we try to make a desert of our own by the penitential practices of self-denial and self-discipline, of prayer and sorrow for our sins. And if we do it right, we will surely find Jesus when we go out into the desert of Lent, as we draw close to him and he draws close to us. But we'll also find someone else out in that desert, the very same person that Jesus found when he went out. We will find the devil. Christ came to conquer the sins of mankind, which means that before he can do that, he has to, or as part of doing that, he must vanquish the devil, who is the instigator of all sin, as we find in the very first book of the Bible, in Genesis. There in chapter 3, it tells us how the devil is described as the serpent who tempts Eve, and so brings about the original sin and the fall of man. From then on, the devil, the father of sin, became the enemy not only of God, but of mankind. That's what the word Satan means in Hebrew, enemy. But actually, he's been the enemy of man even before there was a man. Scripture tells us that the devil, or devils really, because they are legion, were originally simply angels. But at some point, they turned on God. They rejected him, disobeyed him. The great fathers of the church and the great theologians believe that what happened was that God revealed to all the angels that one day he would create a creature that was below the angels, a lesser creature, man, and that eventually God the Son would become a man. Now, not all the angels could accept this. In fact, the most glorious angel, Lucifer, caught up in pride. Lucifer means the light bearer. He was supposedly the most brilliant and most beautiful of all the angels. But getting caught up in pride, he refused to accept that he would have to kneel before a lowly man, even if that lowly man was God the Son. And in his deadly pride, he replied to God with the famous non servium, I will not serve. And as the book of Revelation tells us, he took with him a third of the angels who agreed with him, who sided with Lucifer over God. As the book of Revelation says, the great red dragon swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. God the Son, before he became, witnessed all this. And then later, as a man, Jesus, he would tell his apostles, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And just like that, in the blink of an angelic eye, like a bolt of lightning, a third of all the angels became devils. And all because of man. And so, when God eventually created man in his own image, it was Satan then, the ancient dragon or serpent, who tempted Eve and Adam, lying to them. And in this, he became the source of sin and death. As Jesus also told his apostles, the devil was a murderer from the beginning. He is a liar and the father of lies. And so, as Jesus prepares to begin his public battle with Satan, he encounters him in the desert, face to face, and begins his fight with a contest of wits, the devil slashing with distortion and deceit, and God the Son parrying gracefully with simple truth. Now, the fact that the devil tries to tempt Jesus means that he didn't really know exactly who Jesus was. He didn't recognize him as God the Son, because even the devil is not foolish enough to try to tempt God. He knows better than all of us how powerful God is. The fathers say that God hid Jesus' divinity from the devil as it was hidden from the rest of the world. So that while Satan knew that this was clearly the greatest man he'd ever encountered and wondered even if this might be the Messiah, as he calls him, "Are you the Son of God?" He didn't know exactly who he was, God the Son. He didn't know yet. And so he tries to tempt Jesus, just as he would any other man. Except, of course, with this particular man, this greatest of all men, he lays aside the disguises that he uses with us, and he shows himself to Jesus face to face. With us, his attack, his temptation, is definitely much more subtle than that. He can't read our minds or our souls, but he watches us and listens to us, and he's been watching and listening since we were born, so that he knows us much better than we even know ourselves. And there's no confusion in him about this. He knows and sees without the kind of restrictions that we have, because after all, he is an angel. And angels and their intellects are powerful, even though he's a fallen angel. And so he knows all of our history, all our successes, all our failures. He knows our moods, our likes, dislikes. He knows everything we've ever learned and how we understand it and how we remember it. He knows what irritates us, what excites us, what discourages us. He preys on our weaknesses and our confusion. And he manipulates our ignorance and even turns our knowledge, our virtues, and even our goodness against us. He's clever, wily, cunning, and subtle, masking evil to make it seem like it's good, and then twisting good to make it seem like it's evil. He is the father of lies. We see a more aggressive form of this, a less subtle form of the same temptation as he attacks Jesus today. Of course, Jesus has no weakness, and he's been watching him all these years and sees no weakness. But from his vast experience, the devil tries to attack him where most great men would be most vulnerable. And so he begins with the very basics. He sees that Jesus is hungry. And so he tempts him to break his fast and perform a miracle. Not a sin. It wouldn't be a sin for God to exercise his power. But in undermining this great man's amazing resolve and self-discipline, Satan would gain a great victory. Jesus wouldn't want to do this. It would be against everything he'd been doing for 40 days, and Satan would win. But he fails. And so he goes on to the next temptation and assumes that, like all great men, this great man, Jesus, wants to be even greater. And so he tempts him by showing before him a vision of the whole world and offers him power over all the kingdoms of the world if only Jesus will worship him. And he fails again. And when that fails, hoping now to prey on the pride of that great men have, clearly this man was like all others great men who didn't bow to anyone. And so he tempted them to presume on God's protection, that God would protect this great man no matter what. And so he tempted him to jump from the parapet, to presume on God's mercy, that God would send his angels to protect him, lest, as he says, you dash your foot against a stone. And he fails again. The devil utterly fails in tempting Jesus. But he doesn't fail with us. And in some way, he is connected to every sin we commit. Now, don't misunderstand me. We sin by freely choosing to sin. Our sins are our responsibility. The devil does not make us do anything. The devil cannot force us to sin, but he's always there, goading us on, lying to us. even imperceptibly. Again, because he hates us. So as Jesus warns us elsewhere in Scripture, he says, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And as St. Peter goes on to warn us later, he says, be alert and sober. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So we must fear the devil. But the thing is, we don't fear him and shouldn't fear him as if he were some all-powerful deity, as if he were the evil side of God or the evil God out there, because he's not that at all. He's just a creature. And while he can try to manipulate and corrupt our free will, he cannot override it. And so we fear him like we fear many things that we can also protect ourselves from. For example, take a lion. On a certain level, we should fear lions. But we have no reason to be afraid of a lion in a zoo, except in an abstract way. After all, you go to a zoo and you look at a lion, you stand there and you're at a distance. You're protected by bars or maybe even a moat or maybe thick bulletproof glass. We look at him, we see him for what he is, and there is an understanding that this is a fearsome creature. But we know it can't harm us. We're protected. On the other hand, if we decide to take a trip to Africa and then take a walk through a game preserve in Africa, maybe with a piece of steak around our neck or something, or if we decide to go to the zoo and jump into the pit with the lion or unlock his cage, then we have a lot to fear. And it's not abstract, it's very concrete. So we stay away from the devil, always. And we stay aware of his temptation. And we follow the simple rule of keeping the commandments and following church teachings. If we're ever confused about right and wrong, we remember that's our own weakness and the devil preying on it, because he's a liar and he's always going to try to confuse us. And so we turn to the commandments and the teaching of the church and we say, that's the way to go. And most of all, we unite ourselves to Jesus in his word, in his church, and most especially in his sacraments. And we remember that if we remain united to Jesus in grace and truth, we'll be just fine. After all, look at what happens when the devil attacks Jesus in today's gospel. Who wins? Jesus. He always wins. He's God. Of course, at the end of today's reading, it tells us the devil departed from him, it says, for a time. In other words, he would come back again to tempt him. Now, perhaps he tempted him many times. You can imagine that he would during his 3 years of preaching. But the fathers say we clearly see this happening, the temptation in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then probably also as he goes forward in his suffering, even on the cross, in the Garden of Gethsemane, there he is agonizing over his upcoming passion. And there on the cross, we remember how perhaps the devil manipulates those men at the foot of the cross to shout out to him, if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. But the devil loses again. In the garden, Jesus says to his Father, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And on the cross, he says, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And he dies. And he crushes the head of the liar, the murderer, the devil. Now, some folks nowadays would say this is all just a bunch of fantasy, a bunch of bunk. They say it's the stuff of children's nightmares or Hollywood fantasy. Some say that the devil is just some sort of archetype of our fears that are embedded in our deepest psyche, a figment of our natural imagination. Some would say that the devil is imaginary scapegoat that we use to explain away evil. On the other hand, some would admit there is a devil, but that would like us to believe that he's really not that bad of a guy. We see this in particularly with those who worship the devil, the Satanists and witches. If you see them and they're around, you see them interviewed on television, you see them on the internet, and they'll talk about this, that Satan's really misunderstood. We also see it in entertainment. We've always seen it here. He's always been sort of the butt of jokes or the part of jokes, and we see him sort of made lighthearted about, even in old movies. More and more today, though, we see him portrayed more friendly. We see particularly this disgusting television series, Blasphemous, that tries to portray Lucifer, as it's called, as a pretty good guy who's just kind of been misunderstood, and now he's retiring and sort of rethinking things. They can believe that if they want to their own detriment. But we do not believe these lies. The devil really does exist. He really does hate Jesus, and he really does hate us. And he tempts us every single day, hoping that we will die in mortal sin and spend eternity in torment, in the torment of hell, where he will be our tormentor forever. Jesus Christ knew this. The apostles believed this. The early church believed this. And we believe this too, because it's true. In Lent, we go out to the desert to prepare for Good Friday and Easter. And there we will encounter the devil. He will be angry with us because we're trying to repent our sins. We're trying to develop self-control, control over ourselves, not allowing him to do that. And we're trying to enter more deeply into the love of Christ's passion and death. But the thing is, we don't go out to the desert alone. We go out to the desert with Jesus. And Jesus is God, and God always defeats the lowly, menial creature who is the devil. Plus, there's more. Today we read the gospel account of the desert from St. Luke. But in the Gospels of Matthew and Mark, there's one last line that they add that Luke leaves out, and that is this. They say, the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to Jesus. Where Jesus is, even in the desert, there are with him his holy angels. And so during this Lent, as we draw close to Jesus, the holy angels draw closer to us and comfort us and protect us. Today, in the gospel, the devil quotes Psalm 91 that we read earlier in the responsorial. He uses it again, manipulating, twisting the truth, using part of it, trying to make Jesus test God. And Jesus says, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." But the psalm is nevertheless true. For those who do not test God, but trust in God. As it says, he will command his angels to guard you. And with their hands, they will support you. So that, as the psalm goes on to say, but as the devil conveniently left out, the psalm goes on to say, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. As we now enter more deeply into this holy mass, we remember that we are about to enter into the mystery of faith. The salvation of man on the cross. As Jesus Christ crucified comes down to the altar today, his holy angels come down to him and they come to adore him and to serve him as he should be served. Let us join the angels in this holy mass in adoring and serving the Lord Jesus, whom the devils once refused and forever refused to serve. Let us allow Jesus to unite us to himself, crucified and risen in Holy Communion. And let us leave here today, going out with Jesus into the desert of Lent, to face our sins and weaknesses, to face the temptations of the world, and to face the temptations of the devil, knowing that in union with Christ and clinging to Jesus Christ, his victory in the desert and his victory on the cross will be ours now and forever. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.